Welcome to the Urgent Care Leadership Podcast. I'm Lou Ellen Horwitz. As CEO of the Urgent Care Association, and after working in the industry for over 15 years, I've met a lot of urgent care leaders in every role and at every level. These are the people taking the risk of being a little ahead of everyone else. And though we all spend a lot of time talking about the business of urgent care or urgent care medicine, we don't talk a lot about urgent care leadership. So as you've probably guessed, that's what this podcast is all about. I'm really glad you're here, so let's get into it. This episode is another bonus episode, created to be part of the Urgent Care Association's management learning subscription called UCBX. One of the main design tenets behind UCBX is to include content that's seasonally relevant to urgent care and to provide it just before you're going to need it. Even though we're still in the early days of the COVID vaccine casting a little light on the pandemic, we all know that management leadership never stops. So we're looking ahead in this episode to a bit of spring cleaning in the months to come. So today I'm here with Debbie Ray, Director of Administration for Retail Health at MultiCare Health System in Washington. Debbie's been working in urgent care for many years, first as a manager over sites in Phoenix and then Seattle, and now obviously with a big health system. Plus, she has a background in construction, which makes her the queen of the punch list. I've known Debbie for many years, and she's one of the most meticulous people I've ever met, so I thought she'd be perfect to talk with us about how the appearance and condition of our centers impacts operations in obvious and not so obvious ways, and why this is important to you as a leader. So Debbie, thanks for coming onto the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's talk about what typically happens. Somehow we can start on opening day with a center that's gleaming from head to toe and everything in its place. But by the end of the first year, the papers have somehow taken over. We have scotch tape signs everywhere. The floors are scuffed. Handles on things are broken off. And the worst part is that we don't even see this when we walk into our own centers on a regular basis. So my first question for you is, how does this happen to us in urgent care, particularly when we're so focused on delivering a great patient experience? And this is a big part of that. How does that happen to us?
It doesn't happen overnight. It's gradual. To your point, when a center opens, it's fresh and has everything new, and it's in its place. As a clinic manager, you are now tasked with building up your business. And so as a result, without intent, we get caught up in ensuring that our patients receive the best patient experience clinically. And everything from registration to care delivery to discharge to follow-up with test results that we tend to lose sight, no pun intended, of what the patient may see when they're entering the clinic or sitting in the lobby or even in one of the exam rooms, where in those wandering eyes start catching paint peeling, floors that need a good strip and wax, dust bunnies under the chairs, or even fingerprints on the glass.
So you're saying that it's mostly because it's just not something that's on our list specifically to pay attention to. And that list is pretty long already. So this just never makes it to the top because the building isn't on fire. And so we don't take time out to focus on these things because either they're not one of our metrics or they're not, you know, related to a patient care issue or, you know, something that's going on with the staff. That's why it never really rises to the top of the list.
I think the first question is, do you even have a list? I think that's a great place to start. You know, what are the things that you should be watching for? And when should you be watching for all of those things? You know, we do this even in our home life. We move into a brand new home and we get all of our furniture in place and our dishes in order and everything is great. And everything just works. And everything's fresh and pristine. Then all of a sudden, that door's starting to squeak a little bit. Maybe I noticed that the paint needs a little touch up around the door handles. Those are those evolutionary type things. And again, it's not necessarily at the top of what we're focusing on at the beginning. But again, it's something that gradually you start to recognize. And when you're in a clinic, you really are focused based on the care that you're giving to your patients, right? You want those amazing outcomes all the time. So are you looking at the paint? Are you looking at the fingerprints? You know, again, because you're focused on your patients and your care, which is exactly what we want you to be doing, But those other things tend to just sort of fade away in the process.
And in your example, I know in my house, when I see those things, I think, yeah, we need to get on that this weekend. And sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. But in urgent care, we don't have a weekend. And so it's not right. As if, oh, we close and let's use this day. So there's always something new that's going to be coming up. All right, let's talk about when we do this, which is clearly very natural. What are the outcomes of letting this happen that we may not think about as leaders?
Besides the obvious, time and money, depending on the amount of work, a feeling of where do I even begin? Where do I start? Often once you start looking, really looking around and taking stock of what needs to be done, it can feel overwhelming. For every item that you identify, two seem to crop up. And believe it or not, that's a good thing because you're doing what you should be doing. You're looking at your center through the lens of your customer. In essence, you are becoming the customer. That's when you are like, oh my goodness, how did I not see this before? Because it's now intentional that you're seeking out the items that need your attention, whereas before it was unintentional that they went unnoticed.
Do you think this is even harder if you've been in your center for years and years?
Oh, golly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I've secret shopped some older centers before and just been amazed at the amount of accumulation that they have managed. And that would feel very overwhelming to me. Once you see that, of course, you can't unsee it. But the thought of tackling that, especially given the long hours that were open, what have you found? When have you found that this work is best to be done and by who?
I think it's a blend. When to do it regularly, you know, set yourself up on some type of a routine when you're looking at these. I used to always like to say that there was never downtime, you know, I mean, because that downtime, when you do have those moments, yes, we want all of our personnel to be able to take a deep breath and take a step back and kind of recover so that they are prepared for the next surge that's coming at them. But at the same time, there's always work that needs to be done, whether it's restocking a room, whether again, it's looking at that pile of papers that's sitting next to your printer that you know you need to go through and something probably needs to be done with them, but they just keep spitting out and you just put them in the pile to be dealt with at a later date. You know, or whether it's, again, taking that moment to clean around just even your computer equipment where you've got, you know, dust bunnies that are hiding. That's typically most janitorial or environmental control services won't move your equipment around to clean anything. So it's a wonderful opportunity to just kind of do something. And when you're done, it's just like even at home when you decide you're going to pull out that refrigerator and clean underneath. Nobody else knows you did it, but you feel really great about the fact that you cleaned underneath your refrigerator.
Yeah, sometimes it is those little things. That's a good segue. Let's talk about specific blind spots that we have that you've seen. Some of them are cosmetic and influence patient perception. Some inhibit staff workflows. Some are directly costing you money. Some are probably in downright violation of HIPAA or fire codes or OSHA or other regulations. Talk to us in your experience in many, many clinics that you've worked with and in. Talk about what you've seen.
Boy, those are great call outs. And there are several that come immediately to mind. And in full transparency, I am super passionate about this topic. So I'll try not to get too granular. I would like to start by giving some examples and share some of those that are easily overlooked. Gosh, where to start? There are many areas to think about, and some are more apparent, like the dirty floors or the paint touch-ups or a light bulb, you know, that needs to be replaced. These are obvious, but in addressing them, it's really impactful. You might ask, why? Well, it's twofold. Maintaining the clinic shows the patient that you care, which equates to another piece of that patient experience. The second piece to that is your staff. Having a clinic that doesn't look old and tired or in disrepair gives them a renewed sense of pride, which in my experience extends to that patient experience. They have a lilt in their step.
And I think the opposite is true as well. If you don't attend to it, it makes the staff feel like you're not attending to them, because often they do see it. And even if they're not saying anything, they see it and it does impact that. So that's a great, great call out. What else?
Well, examples that are easy and quick fixes, but oftentimes you know need to have something done. But again, it's a, you just pass by it. If you close one eye, maybe you won't see it. If you're using colored identifying flags outside the rooms, are they broken? Are they missing a color? Are you using a chart holder with clipboards? Are any of the chart holders missing? Do you have a height gauge on your scale that's broken and it needs to be replaced? Those are examples of workflow impediments. What about privacy screens on monitors that are patient-facing or could be viewed by a passing patient? Were they on the monitors at opening, or the best is, are they now magically just standing behind the monitor they were intended to be placed on and just simply gathering dust? Is there a workflow for test results, or are they just being delivered to a workstation being left face up? These are all HIPAA, concerns and things that we should be thinking about. License postings, are they expired? Are they not posted at all? That extends to state and or business licenses, fire alarm permits, COLA accreditations. Are things current? Labor law posters, these are oftentimes updated either by the state or by a federal jurisdiction, and we need to keep those current. Those are examples of compliance items. These are all regulatory and essential that we have them current, and they're easy to overlook because they don't really equate with patient care, yet they represent another type of compliance, which can ultimately result in fines.
I think we have to remember our patients are spending time alone in our spaces with not very much to do, and they look around. And so if I happen to look at your, some sort of license that expired, that says something to me that doesn't make me feel good about the care that I'm about to get. Even if they two have actually nothing to do with each other, it feels sloppy, which makes it feel like, yikes, what else is not getting attended to around here? So it's those tiny little things, I think, that we really are trying to focus on in this conversation. Those are some great examples. What else you got?
Well, other ones are as simple as fire extinguishers. When is the last annual service calibration or certification been done? Those aren't something that you use regularly, so it doesn't get attention. It's a case of out of sight, out of mind. And yet, if you're going to have a fire inspection or a fire alarm, or gosh, heaven forbid, you needed to use it, that you want to make sure that it's functioning and that it's filled and that it's ready to go. When was the last time you checked batteries in your scales or your handheld devices? Doesn't sound all that important until one time you begin to use it and whoops, I've discovered that when something like this doesn't work, the first response is it's broken. And in fact, it's maybe just the batteries. That even extends to your AED. Batteries that have an expiration date, even if they're not used, may need replacement. Another one of those, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. Hopefully, we're all blessed in not having to use that, but you want to make sure that that one time you need it, that it is fully functional. There are some policies that prevent use of power surge protectors. This is more of an organizational, approach. Some have policies. And do you even know if your organization has a policy surrounding the use of these devices? And what is it? In general, checking cords on your equipment for any frays or breaks. One of the most obvious that comes to mind is like your spot vital or your ECG equipment. Those are constantly plugged in and plugged out. And because someone may just grab it rather than, gently removing it, it can work itself loose and you can end up having some fraying in your cords. These are all simple items, and I know that people are thinking, oh my goodness, but these are virtually items you can do at little or no cost. And the best part is, again, they're simple, quick fixes, but there's little to no in-cost impact to those, but they are really impactful in making sure that all of these types of items are addressed.
And I think it goes along with actually even directly in the case of the cord, you know, we're talking about this metaphorically, but we're really trying to help industry managers move from, you know, the mode that we're in a lot of times, which is managing by fighting fires. We're really trying to move them into managing by preventing the fires in the first place. So, you know, these are those little things that can keep you from having sometimes a literal fire. But really these, oh my gosh, this thing is broken. We don't have a backup. We have to scramble. The providers are upset. We have to redirect patients. It turns into this, you know, day or week eating activity when if you were able to focus more on prevention by doing lots of little things, you would have fewer of these explosions. So how do we deal with this? Spring is coming, so this is a good time for us to start thinking about spring cleaning. What are some of the big steps that managers and leaders need to take to get their centers back under control? And how do they open their eyes to see what they can't see?
I will say that I can just feel your listeners' eyes rolling to the back of their heads as they're hearing what I shared. I like to remind managers and leaders to first take a deep breath. Break it down into pieces and remember, it's all manageable. Suggesting at the beginning with what I call the low-hanging fruit, which represents some of the most important items are quickly resolved. That equates to those items like the regulatory, you know, the licenses, the inspections, your labor and OSHA postings, you know, from an OSHA perspective, items that could be citable, you know, electrical cords fraying. Do you have ladders? You know, are they in a safe place? You know, are they tethered in place? Trip, anything that would be a trip hazard, you know, environmental, you know, those are your cosmetic items, your patch and paint, your inoperable outlets. There may be an outlet that's an inoperable. Floor cleaning, light bulbs, exterior window cleaning, you know, those types of things. And with that, I recommend breaking it down into multiple areas and categories. Using some of the examples I gave, regulatory, you know, breaking down what falls under regulatory, you know, some of your safety, what falls in those areas, again, your environmental. Ask yourself, do you know what your center should really look and feel like?
Beginning with the end in mind. Yeah.
Absolutely. Try and remember that day when you walked into something that was just perfect. When I'm building our new sites, as we walk away, there's a great sense of pride in gifting these keys over to the clinic and or to the regional managers. It's having everything in its place and in its place where it belongs equates to this sense of delight, you know, when people are walking into a clinic, and it's that consistency and standardization between the sites. You know, the whole concept is stores may be different in different places, but each should be representing the same experience. I equate that to a McDonald's or to a Starbucks. You know, you may go into a Starbucks in Washington, you may go into one in Florida, and they may be in different states, but the look and feel is the same. And I think that's the goal. Identify with what your clinic should look and feel like, because you've done the heavy lifting. You've worked your magic, and you're working to create these wonderful patient experiences. So now allow yourself the opportunity to round back and extend that experience into this more manageable type bucket and engage your staff. They are there every day and they'll be excited at the opportunity to help and will likely bring to light items that didn't even make your top 10.
That's a great point. I'd also recommend partnering with either a fellow manager or just a trusted friend or colleague to come to your center and tell you what they see, because they'll see things that you don't see, and or commit to sitting and doing nothing in each of your exam rooms for 10 minutes, like a patient, and see what you start to see when you look around. There are ways for us to take those rose-colored glasses off and really start to see what the patient sees. So I think engaging the staff is a huge, huge piece of this, because they will probably fill up that list very, very quickly and be excited, as you say, to participate in it, which is always a good thing. So, all right. So now we've done all of the work. Our center looks and feels fabulous again. Do you recommend just making this an annual thing, or are there better strategies that go more toward prevention rather than an annual digging out or some combination? What have you seen work as far as maintenance?
I'm a big believer in spring cleaning, although my interpretation of spring cleaning may be a bit different from others. I spring clean at least 4 times a year with a light touch annually. I'm of the opinion that if you're looking at things regularly, there's less likelihood you will have this sense of dread when someone mentions time for spring cleaning. But use your list as a reference to ensure you don't overlook something and determine what items should be looked at when. You know, within each category, be specific. This is when the details are of great use. So ensure each area is inspected. Break the checklist down into when should this be done? Licenses are annual renewers, but when in the year? Some renew in June, some renew in December. Put it where it makes sense. Which quarter? OSHA, check every quarter. This is, compliance is huge, and OSHA can arrive on site without announcement at any time. So preparedness is really key when it comes to some of these types of events. The intent is to have items in each quarter and then take the entire list and do an overview during your official spring clean. So it's more of truly that light touch, because you've been working progressively through the year. So now it should be lesser with what you're doing at that point in time. You know, the goal is to minimize allowing yourself the opportunity and the freedom to manage those items that are really need your attention during that once a year only.
Well, I think that helps motivate us to get going on this daunting task, because ultimately it will make it less daunting the next time that we have to do it. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for all those tips. I think while this may seem like a chore on the surface, you've helped us see that the positive impacts on workflow, staff morale, patient experience, and maybe even quality of care make it more than worth it. It's been great having you on. Lovely to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for sharing your time and the time of your listeners.
Appreciate you being here. As you may have noticed, this simple topic has a lot of more complicated ramifications. After we stopped recording, Debbie and I kept chatting and dug in a little deeper to some of these. And in part 2, I'll share a bit more about what we realized as we've continued to probe this topic. You've been listening to UCA's Urgent Care Leadership Podcast. Let's keep raising the bar on each other, and I'll see you next time.